I'm Justin Boyd.
I want a jet ski now.
And I'm just regular old Amber.
Or is she? And we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. We are here today to discuss season 2, episode 5, the penultimate episode of the second season of the Marvel Cinematic Universe series on Disney Plus, Loki. The title of episode 5 was Science/Fiction. And I'm going to start off, let's get everybody's thoughts about the episode overall before we break it all down. Amber, what did you think about episode 5?
I really liked it. I thought it was really interesting. Seeing everybody, like, where they're originally supposed to be on the timeline, I thought it was interesting. I also thought it was really good that we could talk more about it later, but that conversation about what Loki actually really wants that he had with Sylvie, because I feel like that's something that I've kind of questioned throughout the entire show is why does Loki want to save everything? Because he very much, like, he is a god of chaos. That is one of his, like, patron things, is being a god of chaos. So it's kind of just always seemed a little odd that he was trying to save something that's supposed to be order and restrictive. So it's like he should be reveling in this chaos and insanity, right? But that little deep dive into his psyche, I guess, was kind of interesting to me, and I liked it. I had fun.
Okay. Brittany, what are your thoughts on the episode?
This episode, during the first watch, left me very, very confused. I think maybe this was the first time during the season that I was actually like, wait, whoa, like, what is happening now? Like, not that I've missed a step. It's just that there's so much time talk, right? Especially when you see Loki with AD, aka Obi, or as we know as Obi, but in the branched timeline, he's known as AD. So the conversation was still very similar as it would be Obi with Loki in the TVA. Lots of acronyms here, y'all. But with that being said, I'm like, whoa, this is just literally blowing my mind. And Amber, this is why I absolutely love having you here, because you can follow this time talk a lot more carefully than we can and provide visuals. Yes, y'all, yes. We have visuals. If you're watching us on YouTube right now as we're doing this live stream, we have visuals that are coming your way to help better explain what's happening in this episode. So that being said, I really love the tie-in to what Casey's character was in the branch timeline, just because we saw in season 1 where Loki was DB Cooper, and in this season we get Casey, who's Frank Morris, who is famously known for escaping Alcatraz. So I love that tie-in. I love how it's just like a great nod to history, because the fact that they never found, you know, Frank and company in real life. So it's like, that's really cool. Anyway, that being said, lots of questions just in terms of explaining what's happening here. And like what Amber was talking about with understanding Loki's psyche a little bit more, how he's selfish to a degree, but it's not the same kind of selfish as Sylvie, where she, you know, she killed He Who Remains, didn't really care what happened to the timeline, what have you. She was living her best life in 1983, working at McDonald's, and that was life content for her, right? Until stuff started going sideways, and we'll get to that more during this pod. But yeah, it was a really interesting episode. Even during the second rewatch, I'm just like, whoa, like my mind is still like trying to process and figure things out. So Justin, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I felt like it was the Infinity War of Disney Plus, you know, like it was, but instead of the characters getting dusted, like they do in Infinity War, everybody was getting spaghettified. So that begs the question, mm-hmm. Would you prefer to get dusted or spaghettified, Amber?
Spaghetti.
If you had to choose spaghetti.
I think it looks cooler. Yeah, it does. And it's also like, I don't know. And maybe it's just because with Infinity War, like it was so memeified seeing the people being snapped away. Like just making jokes and teasing about it, that I've kind of a spaghetti sounds more haunting, and that doesn't sound more haunting, but I mean, you know, it visually it
tastes better than dust though. Right?
Yeah. I'm going to go spaghetti.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're both equally horrifying. Luna's got opinions in the background, y'all, if you can hear her. She's like, neither. She wants to, you know, live forever. I feel like with the spaghettification, it seemed quite painful. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Unless Victor Timely was just kind of like playing it up as something painful. Because when you started seeing everyone else at one point in this episode start becoming spaghettified, they didn't really react to it the same way that Victor did. So I don't know. I think, like I said, they're just both equally horrifying. And whatever's faster, honestly, it seemed like the dust seemed to happen really quick. And listen, if I'm going to go, I want to go fast. Like, I want to go fast like Ricky Bobby. But like, if I'm going to die, like, I want it to be quick. Like, I don't want to suffer to any degree, right? So I think the dust probably would be the way to go for me. Just something fast. That's all I know.
Yeah. No, I just thought it was like very like reminiscent of what happened in Infinity War. And
oh yeah, for sure.
This is this, you know, penultimate episode, and then of course Infinity War is kind of the penultimate movie before Endgame. So
yeah,
I like the parallels between that. This episode ended like it was kind of a. Not to say self-contained, but I mean, obviously we had to know like what was going to happen after episode 4, because episode 4 ends, the TVA explodes, and it's like, did everybody die? You know, like it, what, so where do they pick up? And I liked how they kind of, you know, you kind of get the scenes of Loki kind of putting the team back together, even though they don't even know that they're off living their own life. They're living their lives on this branch time, on these branch timelines. And he has to go find them. I like that. I thought it was a really good episode. I think they did a good job of like, because I mean, honestly, the story of this season feels small to me, even though like obviously involves all these, you know, timelines and worlds and everything like that. It's the multiverse saga, of course, but it feels very like it's a very small cast. There's not a ton of people in the episodes, and
it's very contained.
Yes, very contained. That's what I was looking for. So I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to see, like, you know, how do they end this story, and you know, where does it go after that? So
I did really like how it went, and I it's not a problem with the pacing, because I think it's really well paced. I feel like with Loki figure, like how this episode ended with Loki figuring out how to go to figuring out his time jumping and being able to go back. I'm kind of like, then what was the point of this whole episode? And it felt a little bit too rushed for us just in that, because it was just this one episode where it's like, okay, we're supposed to be really, really high stakes. Right. And then, oh, he had the answer all along. He just needed to figure it out. And it's just,
right.
I feel like it was like a nugget that they could have built on a little bit more, just a little bit.
I think for me, given, okay, that's fine. He's the answer to the question that he's asking seems appropriate, but like, why him, Loki specifically? And this kind of ties into maybe the question that Rahi in the live chat has here. Thank you so much for joining us. How are y'all doing today? You know, we're here doing something that we actually enjoy, which is talking about Loki, being on the podcast, getting a chance to talk with y'all, the viewers. But Raheem asked, the most important thing of this episode was, how did Sylvie manage to remember everything, and why didn't she try to do anything like Loki? So I think the reason that Sylvie was able to know who Loki is because she is his variant. Right. I think because they went to the end of time and they were the ones who encountered He Who Remains. Granted, she was the one who killed He Who Remains. they're like-minded. They're linked somehow, because we haven't actually seen another variant of Mobius, B-15, Casey, and so on and so on, right? Mm-hmm. It's them. They were put back into their, like, a branched timeline, right? So I think that's the difference, because Sylvie as a variant still exists, and she's been through everything with Loki. I'm not sure if what I'm saying really makes any sense. I hope it does. It makes sense in my crazy head. But being said, I am very curious as to why Loki himself is the key to everything, or was it the fact that he needed to have all the pins, quote unquote, put back together in the one cup, as you know, the visual that we saw in this episode. He needed to have his friends back together in order to be able to rewrite the story and get back to the time period just before the loom went boom. So, yeah.
Yeah. Going back on a point that Amber made about the purpose of the episode, to me, the purpose of this episode was to show the lives of the other characters. Because I think, you know, like, obviously the jet ski thing with Mobius, we've been talking about since season one. So we finally got to see that he was a jet ski salesman, you know, in Cleveland, Ohio, on a branch timeline in 2022, you know, like, I think that was like the main purpose. As far as like, Brittany, your question of why is it Loki? I don't know, but I did think it was interesting that you're right. Like, as Raheem says, you know, Sylvie, she was the only person who retained her memories. She knew what happened. And then yet she was still back in Oklahoma at her McDonald's, just having the time of her life. So
my question about that is, when the loom went boom, did she use, because she still has He Who Remains' temp pad, like, I guess the original temp pad. Did she use that, like, during the bright flashy net flash, which is would be kind of weird? Or when did she go? Because that, yeah, she went to back to her McDonald's branch timeline, but
right,
that's not her original branch timeline. So in my brain, I'm like, shouldn't she have still been in the TVA with Loki?
That seems likely. Yeah, that seems very, very likely. She probably saw what was about to happen in front of them with the big boom. And she's like, I'm going to get the F out of here. Swipe the little temp pad thing and just went back to her timeline. And it's really funny when Loki does encounter her in her now new timeline or branch timeline. And he's still begging her to come and help and, you know, put back the TVA where it rightfully belongs. And she's over here just still being defiant and still saying, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm selfish. I want what I want. And she's telling him, as a Loki, you're selfish as well. What do you want, though? To the point where he admittedly says he just wants his friends back. And they're both selfish, yes, but I feel like Loki's selfishness is not nearly as bad as Sylvie's. Like, Sylvie is self-contained, self-centered, however you want to put it. Loki used to be like that for sure.
Yeah.
But he has grown as a being, right? He saw what his timeline looked like. You know, he's dead. He's left with nothing. All the crap that he's done in the past is now in the past. But he has something that he's been working towards, which has helped him make friends, right? He really cares about Mobius and everyone and everything within the TVA, and is trying to set things right. So I think, with that being said, I don't view their selfishness as being equal, right? Sylvie only came back to them when the timeline started spaghettifying and it finally affected her, right? Yeah. She couldn't care less about what was happening with the other timelines, the pruning and you know, setting the TVA to what it should be, because it didn't affect her until it did. And that for sure is incredibly selfish. So I don't view the two of them as being the same with their selfishness.
Yeah, Loki has a mission. You know, he's kind of made his life, you know, this is his goal, is to restore the TVA, whereas Sylvie just wants to live a life. So they have different goals in mind. And that's kind of what you, what we see play out in this episode.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So let's talk about some of the branch timelines. Let's go first off, like you said, Brittany, we had 1962 San Francisco. Loki encounters Casey, who is AKA Frank Morris, and he's trying to escape Alcatraz. What, Amber, what'd you think about that, that setting to start off the episode?
I live near there, so I thought it was neat. I thought it was very interesting because of how we've been seeing of Casey so far was just being kind of, you know, little office nerd kind of guy.
Straight-laced, yeah.
Yeah, and it's pretty clean cut. So, like, seeing him being, he was prude because he was escaping Alcatraz. Okay. I thought it was silly, but in a good way, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I recognized that scene immediately because I've been to Alcatraz, not as a prisoner, visiting. And
Are you sure?
I'm glad you clarified that because
that place couldn't hold me.
I do know that, you. Yeah, go ahead.
You do, but that place couldn't hold me. Let's just be real. No, as soon as I saw, obviously, the fake sleeping person in the bunk and the wall, the hole in the wall being, you know, like lifted and what have you, I was like, that's Alcatraz. There's no other way of putting it because the location and the year wasn't placed until the camera's panning on the exterior of Alcatraz. That's when you saw that information. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's for sure Alcatraz. Yeah. And it just made me giggle because the very fact that Frank and company are the only ones who escaped Alcatraz. Now, no one knows what happened to them. There's theories that, of course, the water is extremely cold because Bay Area does get very cold, as Amber could
so
tell you.
Cold here.
She's a transplant from Arizona, so yeah, you know, that's a that's a big difference. But with cold. Yeah, that too. But with that being said, it, like I said earlier, at the beginning of the show, it's just a great nod to history because they never found out what happened to them. It's because Loki, you know, brought Frank/Casey back to the TVA, and no one heard anything ever again.
And it also makes sense because that's probably when he got pruned.
You know, that's probably so.
Probably or when so. That went or whatever. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah. On to the next branch timeline, we go to 2012 New York in a hospital. And we learn that B-15 is Dr. Willis. Now, before we talk about Dr. Willis, I just want to point out, did y'all notice the significance of 2012 New York in the MCU?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where Avengers happened in New York. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's when Loki was. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cause he mm-hmm. found. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. But she keeps that same caring demeanor.
Right.
As a doctor, like it would be very fitting for B-15 to be a doctor, just how much she cares about people and such. Even just talking to the little girl who broke her arm because she was climbing trees as a cast, and she's like, I'm gonna write a reminder on here, don't climb trees. And she looks at the girl, that's not gonna stop you, is it? The little girl's like, nah. Try all you might, but nah. very sweet.
It was. So, but also her being horrified at seeing Loki, like, time jumping was just like that. If I saw something in real life too, I would just, especially in my workplace, just.
For real.
Her reaction was accurate.
Yeah. I feel like I'd be hallucinating or something.
If it happened at my workplace, I think I'd embrace it. Just roll.
You would. I'd be like, you absolutely
take
would.
Me with you. Where do you want to go? The TVA sounds great. Let's go.
Well, now that you guys are back in the office, I'm not surprised.
Right. Prune away or give me a Tim pad or whatever. Like, let's open a magical door. Like,
let me cause a Nexus event.
Right.
Let's go.
So next stop on our branch timeline tour. We land in 2022 Cleveland at Piranha Power Sports Store, also a branch timeline. We see Mobius is, you know, on a Sea-Doo jet skis in the store. He's trying to make a sale. I thought that was pretty funny, you know, because it looks like he's like actually on the water and he's actually just in a store trying to sell this person who has no interest in it.
Yeah.
And then Loki appears in the parking lot and he time slips. And when he time slips, he does like the wacky wavy arm guy, which the wacky wavy arm balloon guys in the parking lot right behind him. So I thought that was a really cool shot.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Amber, what'd you think about Loki's appearance?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I couldn't stop laughing when I first saw it. And conveniently that was right when Will like looked down at his phone and he was like answering a text message or something when he saw it. So he's like, why are you dying now? Because I was just wheezing laughing. Because it was just Loki looks so serious, but he's doing something so silly. And no one comments on it because no one else was there to see it except us. So it's so funny. I loved it. And watching it again, because I rewatched the episode just a bit ago. So funny. It's still funny.
I've seen the behind the scenes video of Tom Hiddleston going through the movements of Loki time slipping. And it looks very physical, like just the big expression, the big movements and what have you. Also, why does he always have to do the hair flip? Why?
It's a Loki thing. I guess. At this point, I don't think it's a Tom thing. I think it's a Loki thing, because there are times in like the other movies that Loki is in, like Thor 1 through 4, like where he like, if he has to write himself, if he has to write himself or someone like grabs him, he always just does a little kind of thing. And it just kind of.
Well, with the exception of Hulk, you know, smashing him around. He's just kind of laying there.
I think it's just
you can't write yourself from that.
I think his hair is just cool and it just looks cool to do that. I think that's the extent of it.
Yes.
I think it's just like, it's just.
So we have Natasha's superhero landing that gets made fun of by Elena. Right. And then now we have Loki's hair flip.
Hair flip, yeah.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's probably just Asgardian L'Oreal. Like, it's just.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah.
There we go.
Sarah's. Anyway, that being said, it's always really funny to to see just him time slipping. And then it's always, you know, comes back with a.
Yeah.
Hair flip. So, I was so close to hitting my desk, y'all. So close. Almost careful. Took one for the team.
Podcasting is a contact sport, apparently. So speaking of funny stuff, I thought it was pretty funny the exchange that Loki and Mobius, or aka Dawn, have. Loki comes up to him and he says, "Hey, the TVA is gone." And Mobius goes, "I think you mean ATV, and no, you're in luck. We've got two of them last week." I thought that was funny. And then Loki disappears. And our tour now takes us to 1994, Pasadena, California. It's a bookstore. And OB, or I guess he's Dr. A.D. Doug is actually his full name. He is trying to buy one of his own books. And I like how
he was so sad.
The first time on the counter is like, nobody buys science fiction here. And, you know, it's, you know, he's like so like locked in on trying to like try to buy his own book. And then woman opens the book and sees like he's on the, you know, inside the jacket cover of the book and realizes it's him. And
as you do,
it's a stunt he's tried to pull before. So but I do like how when Loki appears, you know, he like, OB welcomes it because he says, you know, one of my characters has come to life and needs my help, you know, like, so,
it's cute.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I loved it. I was so happy seeing it. And then also just how casually, cause like you think it's kind of, oh, this guy, he's written a bunch of his books. And it's quite a bit of money to print that many copies of your own book. Like, he's put time and money into this and nobody wants it. And then like when Loki was just like, I'm doomed because you're a writer. And, but he's like, oh, well, I had to get a PhD until I can quit full. Right. It's like,
yeah.
Lead with that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I love him.
I love how he talks about, oh, this is like what happened in the Son of Urine. Sons of Urine. Yeah. Sons of Urine. And it's like, what's that? It's like, oh, it's only my best-selling book. And you see like a stack of them,
yeah,
you know, just surrounding Obi. And he's like, oh, I'll have to find a copy for you. And it's just like, bro, to your left, to your right, behind you.
Yeah. Like, well, I think that part of the joke is the fact that he was just like, oh, he didn't admit that he wrote it. He was just like, oh, it's this great book series or whatever that this amazing writer wrote. And it's just like,
right. I know, but still, and then they keep talking and then he turns, oh, look, I found a copy. It's your lucky day. Lucky you. So sweet. It's so cute. It's just adorable. But yeah, the very fact that he didn't lead off with saying that he was a theoretical physicist. Hello, Oppenheimer, and hello, Sheldon Cooper. It kind of seems very fitting with the personality and the career choice of going into that deep level of science. And for him to try to explain about Loki and time slipping, about he time slipped in a place where you can't, or there is no time, and the place doesn't exist anymore. So you can't time slip back to it because it doesn't exist. But at the same time, because it doesn't exist, you should be able to. And I'm like, who followed that?
I did.
Oh my God. Do we need to bring in the visual at this point?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
I loved it because it's just, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
In the fact that, like, if you're able to do something that you shouldn't have been able to do,
right,
then you should be able to do it.
Do it again.
Yeah, like you should be able to do it. It's just
yeah,
like,
it's but just, it's like, I love it. How at that point, because he didn't even know how he was doing it to begin with. So it's like, how was he doing?
I'm gonna level with you, both of you, because again,
oh no,
this is there are We're points dumb. In time travel. No. There are points in time travel where you kind of just have to be like, okay, like that's just.
That's kind of okay. How I am in life. So yeah,
continue. You just have to be like, okay, that's yes. How it is. Like
sometimes though.
Well, earlier today, while I was making our pretty temporal maps, I kind of just was like a little bit off topic, but still, I was like, why a loom? Like, why is that necessary? Why does everything have to filter through this loom? Can't just like there be a noodle timeline that's just like outside of the loom? Why does everything have to filter through the loom? And so I was like,
would you prefer a strainer?
No, I was just, I was thinking about this. I'm like, why? And my coworker just had to be like, you're thinking too much about it. Like, just don't think about it. It just needs to happen. And because that's just how it is with time travel. Sometimes if you think about it too hard, it ruins all of it because it's not.
No, I get that. It's just, but trying to follow a story where time is involved, and we've talked about this before many a times.
Yeah.
Especially with like Infinity War and Endgame, or no, actually it was a Multiverse of Madness. When you start going and slip in, like going into different, you know, universes, and like you're going back in time, like it starts getting messy. And so when you're, yes, when this show obviously is focused solely on time and timelines and things like that, you got to be able to explain it well for the audience to stay engaged and then to retain whatever information it is, yeah, that you're giving them. So I think that's why like Justin and I are similar in that sense. It's like, it has to make sense. But then to your point, Amber, sometimes like what they offer us, that's all there is to it. And we're just going to have to be like, okay.
Yeah. Well, also kind of going into that, because we haven't proven that we can time travel, it's not a thing yet that we know of. I am still suspending the belief that we'll get there. But a lot of shows, and I think Loki's been doing really good with it all season, actually the whole series, I think they've been doing really well with it, is that because so much about time travel is theoretical, at this point. You kind of have to, if you're having something that's based so solidly about time travel, you have to have, you have to clarify your rules to the audience. So I think that's what Loki does really well with that, because in Back to the Future, okay, in Back to the Future, he starts messing up time to the fact where, to the point where certain things were not happening as they originally did, because that, and that is a retroactive occurrence, but the retroactive occurrences were making it so that he and his siblings were not existing.
Right.
Yes.
But in other things, in other types of media, time travel media, there are fixed points, and like that's going to happen regardless. So step in, and so sometimes people clarify, like, hey, just because you step on a butterfly, the whole, it's not, we're not going to have a butterfly effect. You're not going to die. You're not going to cease to exist because you bumped into this person instead of, and knocked over their coffee instead of them drinking their whole coffee the whole way home. Like, it's not going to ruin, it's not going to ruin everything. So usually they try to explain it, their own rules. And I think Loki does really well. The show Loki has done really well explaining their rules as it's going. Okay. And a lot of that goes through Obi. Like, Obi is right. the one giving the explanations. And if you really try to like break down exactly what he's saying and his examples, it makes a lot of sense because he's the one clarifying the rules for us.
Got it. Well, not to ignore what's going on in the live chat, Raheeb, we do see your comments. We're gonna address them as we get closer to those different points. But he said this episode was like the movie Gods of Egypt, which I have seen. It's got one of our favorite actors in it. A couple of mine.
Jamie Lannister. I also call him
Jamie Lannister, like an idiot. Nikolai Coster Waldo, and then Gerard Butler, they're in this movie. Loki was like Horus, played by Nikolai. Horus had powers, and he thought he has to find his eye to get his powers back. And same was with Loki in this episode. That's a really good comparison. I really do like that. It's much like Thor. You know, Thor thought he needed the hammer in order to wield his power, and that wasn't so, right? So he was able to wield his power all along. He just had to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
The
magic was in the friends we made along the way.
Oh my god. Jesus.
Sorry.
You're so silly.
So going back to Obi, which, by the way, I want to point out, you know, the first episode of the series was called Ouroboros. This episode is titled Science. It's basically science fiction. Science/fiction. He's a science fiction writer. So and then, you know, he's the only one who's like, you know, willing to help Loki from the jump. And he makes the point. Loki's like, you know, my time slipping is random. Mm-hmm. And Obi says, but it's not random because you keep ending up with the people that you're looking for. It's like, he says, it's almost like you become like a better version of a Tempad. And then, you know, Obi creates a Tempad, you know, like, so like,
did you hear how long it took him though?
Yeah.
19 months.
And
19 months. And a divorce. And losing his job.
But really, what's kind of funny is when he was talking to Loki about the, not only are you time traveling, but you're also moving through space. I'm sorry, everybody, but it made me laugh so hard because that's in Doctor Who, his spaceship is literally called a TARDIS because it's time and relative dimensions in space. It's a time and spaceship.
Looks like a phone booth.
Well, I was like, is Loki a TARDIS now? Like, is he a TARDIS? Like, is that
he is a TARDIS?
And the reason it looks like a phone booth, like, really short explanation, is because it has a chameleon circuit that, like, it's supposed to look normal to wherever it lands. So that it's supposed to do that. Like, it can look like a house. It can look like a hut. It can look like a door to a normal place. Like, it's supposed to be hidden. But the chameleon circuit broke. And
it's stuck as a phone booth forever.
It's stuck as a police call box.
Police call box. That's right. It's not a phone booth. My mistake. Yes.
But Loki's a TARDIS now. in my brain.
Nice. I appreciate that. yeah, it was really interesting to hear when Loki went to Dawn/Mobius, right, at his home. Dawn has two boys that apparently are little shits. And he's a single dad. You know, he's picking up after them and, you know, negotiating with one to, you know, go chase down your brother, make sure he doesn't burn down the house, I'll get you a puppy. And Loki appears and Dawn's like, hey, what are you doing here? By the way, do you want to see some jet skis in my garage?
So he really wants,
I guess. And it was just really strange. So then when Loki is explaining to Dawn/Mobius about who he really is, or at least in Loki's mind, who he really is, that, you know, you need to come with me, blah, blah, blah. Dawn doesn't believe it, and enter Obi with the time door. And I was just really blown away by how much time has passed from the moment that Loki and Obi met in that branch timeline to the point where we're at in the scene. And it's like 19 months. 19 months is a really long time, people. But, like,
but you have crazy to remember, like, in the branch timeline where Obi is, it's 1994.
Yeah.
And in Dawn's or Mobius's, it's 2022.
So it's, I know. Yeah. So it's like, you know, a really, really long time. So obviously
time travel,
right. You know, right. Why not? But yeah, it's just crazy. Because in a blink of an eye, like, Loki was gone from one year to another. So it's just, it's fascinating in general. But then to see
5 minutes took like nearly 30 years. Because right. Obi's from my birth year, 1994. That's when I was born. So
Amber always making us feel so young.
I was 14 when you were born. So
I was,
that's fine. Both five. Of my siblings were 14 when I was born.
I was five. But anyway, what I was saying was the very fact that then we get to see this like time loop happen, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're seeing the meeting between Dawn and Loki happen in front of the house all over again. So Dawn now sees what's actually going on, because that also happened in the beginning of this episode where Loki's still in the TVA before it spaghettifies and he's time slipping. And then like 5 seconds later, you see the very thing happen all over again. So it's like, wow, this is weird.
I love time loops.
I know you do. Still reminds me of Harry Potter. Still reminds me of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, right? When they go back in time and mm-hmm. they see themselves play out. Yeah, really strange. Also, when does it stop? Does it stop? Ever?
No.
Oh, God. That's exhausting.
Well, also, right. Like, you got to think about the fact that the time, like, the loom itself with the, like, again, when I was thinking, why loom? when I was having a little bit of a mental breakdown.
About why boom?
why boom? was like, yeah, it's weaving it like a rope, but why does it need to be like a rope? Why does it need to do that? Like, I, so and also.
Spaghettify?
But where does it start? Where does it end? So, it was just kind of an interesting thing. And also, I don't know if it was because, when Loki was it still in the like observation deck, I don't remember what to call it, viewing the loom blowing up, I was looking at the loom blowing up behind him, and I kind of was like pausing it intermittently, and it looks like it looks like, because the loom is supposed to, like, you know, filter it all together and like weave it together, like that's why it's called a loom. But it looked absolutely bonkers and like kind of like a squid at first when it first went boom, but then it started like looking more like a rope, and I was like, is it fixing itself, or is it because the other timelines are already spaghettifying? I need to know. And yeah, I tried to take screenshots, but I couldn't.
Lots of questions. Lots of questions. Hey, shout out to Nick and Claire, all the way from the UK, Walking with the Woods. Appreciate you guys being here. It's quite late over there, isn't it? So thank you so much for joining us. Let us know what you think about Loki. Are you all caught up? Because you know we're going to spoil everything here. Just saying.
I wanted to point out that, you know, Obi was able to create a Tempad, but one of the reasons why it's able to create it, besides being, you know, a scientist and science fiction writer and really very interested in the stuff to begin with, is that Loki gave him a TVA guidebook. And then Obi was like, oh, so I am going to write a bestseller. So I thought that was like a nice little joke. And, you know, then Loki's so like, yes, something like that, you know. Like, but sure. I did want to point out something that happened just a tick before this in the episode. Obi's talking about, he said, you know, with science, it's all about what and how. But with fiction, it's about why. Mm-hmm. It had determined, like, what was Loki's why? And they figured that the why was you need to save the TVA. So did that all kind of jive with y'all as far as, like, the explanation?
I mean, I think for the most part, it really did. I mean, ultimately, that wasn't really Loki's why. I mean, he at the very end said it's about who, but I think that could also just be interpreted as to that's Loki's why. It's who are involved in his life that makes it his why. Like, why the TVA, or not so much why the TVA needs to be saved. I mean, it very much is. But how he's able to, quote, rewrite the story. And it's based on, his why is based on the people in his life, right? So I think it makes sense. I feel like I'm going a little bonkers trying to explain it, but you know, this is Loki after all. So yeah. Amber, your thoughts.
I thought it was just kind of a little odd. My initial first response was just like, Loki is a god of chaos. Why aren't you like reveling in this? Like Sylvie should, like Sylvie was acting more true to like a mythology Loki. And it like, that was my first reaction. But then I'm like, it didn't feel like a Loki was being honest with himself yet, because it's like, yeah. Why? Yes, you want to, like, your why is to save the TVA. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's an authority. It is a restrictive thing that was restricting so many other people and so many other lives. And they wanted to kill you, dude. Like, I don't know. So it didn't settle right with me. So I was just like, that can't be the reason. There has to be another reason. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And clearly it's, a lot of it had to do with that example that Obi/AD gave to Loki about, well, you need to get all your pins back together. You need to put them all back together in the cup. Mm-hmm. It's like, and that sounds crazy just explaining it here without the visual, but being that it was a show and I'm a visual learner, that all made sense. So once the whole gang was back together with Sylvie, because, you know, her timeline got spaghettified. Oh no, I'm devastated. That gave, I think, Loki that added boost of, hey, everyone's here. I needed everyone here in order to be able to do what I can do to save the TVA and like rest of humanity, basically.
Yeah, I wanted to address something that's in the chat. Walking with the Woods said about, you know, not sure where it fits within the MCU timeline. I think, like, with this show, one of the issues I think that's happened with the multiverse saga, which that's phase 4 and 5, mm-hmm. is that nothing in the multiverse saga thus far has felt connected, except for, I think, Loki does feel connected. I mean, Loki obviously is connected. Loki and obviously Loki, you know, season 1 and 2 are connected, obviously. But then you're connecting it to Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania with Kang. And we saw the post-credit scene was actually just a scene that was in episode 3 of this season of Loki. Right. And it's obviously, you know, Kang is the through line. So it's going to set us. I mean, yes, it could play out in Deadpool 3. There could be like a nod to the TVA or Miss Minutes or something. I think that's probably likely. But yeah. Ultimately, it's going to lead to the Kang Dynasty Avengers movie in 2026, mm-hmm. I think. 2027.
Kang is the common thread with throughout this loom of a storyline.
Right, right. So I do think that, like, that's one good thing about this series and about, you know, what's coming, is that they're finally connecting things. Because all the other movies don't, like, Shang-Chi connects to really nothing, you know, nothing. So far.
It was more just an intro, like, hey, I'm the character that you're going to see in the future.
And there are other characters in there from that we knew from other stuff, but they haven't done a good job of meshing it together. And I think that's what they're going to have to do. What's that? Not yet. So hopefully that's what we get with other movies and other series. I think that's what's going to happen with the Marvels. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I think this show is doing a good job of trying to tell a story, you know, interconnected story over multiple projects. And that's why I'm really curious about what's going to happen in the finale, because I don't think it's going to necessarily be a happy ending.
No. No, for sure. So this is Loki we're talking about.
Yeah.
He's probably going to die for like the billionth time. You know?
I don't think he's going to die. I don't think you can kill him again unless it's like a final death. And it's like, there's no way. Like Tom Hiddleston will be.
Oh no, no, he's
gonna be around for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know for sure if I think he's gonna. You know, Loki's not done. Loki's never done.
No, of course not.
But I am going back to like what I always say for like, I feel like I say this every episode. Circles. I feel like it's going to.
Yeah.
The end of this season is going to be the start of something else. And either whether it's the start of the TVA again or another something. Like another version. Because that's Ragnarok in the mythology. That's Loki as a being. Because Loki is that's what an Ouroboros is. And the first episode was called Ouroboros. Like, it's just, there's so many signs pointing to that. That this is that the end of Loki will be the start of everything else again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm setting it. It's all cyclical. It's just.
Yeah.
It's cyclical.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, shapes and different, you know, different things. Like you actually created a graphic for this episode. And Brittany, maybe it's time, Amber, please take it away and explain your wonderful graphic here.
Thank you. I color-coded it for convenience. We start with Kang Wars in the purple.
Yep.
And there's, you know, all of the billion different Kangs in all of them. I don't know how many there are. Infinite, I guess. And then I did it orange because that's the color of the TVA. Is when He Who Remains is the Kang that remains, and he creates the TVA, therefore cementing the sacred timeline, what we see in orange. And then moving on, we have Sylvie and Loki have their Nexus events, just for so that things weren't so confusing, and also to save space, I had them happen at the same time. But you know, Loki's Nexus event is our Loki getting the Tesseract, and that's in the very, very first episode, first like 5 minutes of the first season. And Sylvie's Nexus event is what got her, you know, at war with the TVA and that whole thing. So that's why both Sylvie and Loki's greens are parallel with the sacred timeline for now, and as they're going through everything. And then purple is He Who Remains dies, Sylvie, and so the branches start going haywire again because the TVA started getting affected, and so the TVA's as it's falling apart, branches are going haywire, and that brings us back down to the second row, which branches everywhere. I included Sylvie's McDonald's in there.
Yeah, I'm loving and that.
You're loving it.
God, Justin.
sorry. And in red, we have Doc's prunes the branches. And that's, you know, Doc's just trying to bring it back to the sacred timeline. And we were on the sacred timeline for a bit. And again, in purple, because I ran out of colors, we have Victor Renslayer went to Victor Timely's on the Sacred Timeline that happened originally on the Sacred Timeline. Mm-hmm. And so childhood, Victor had the TVA handbook and created his notes. And that's when they went back. So that's a little triangle to probably just a few minutes later. Again, back to a relatively normal timeline in the TVA. At this point, the orange of the Sacred Timeline is no longer just the Sacred Timeline. It's just the TVA's timeline. And then we have in blue, the Loom Go Boom. And you got to do the rhyme. It's fun. Loom Boom. And the included in all those branches were Casey's B15s, Mobius, Obi, and Sylvie. And Loki was jumping around all in there. And then the group gathers in pink, and Loki figures out he can control his time slips. So he intentionally goes back to just before the boom. And that is where the episode ended. So that is my timeline for current as can be. I hope I explained it in a decent way.
Bravo.
Very good.
Bravo.
Very good. I could never do that. No, it looks great. Thank you. Great job. We appreciate it. We're all visual people, I think. So
definitely. And don't worry, y'all. Don't worry, y'all. We're going to put this on our social media pages. So if you haven't done so already, be sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads.
Follow Amber, too, because she's the one
who follow Amber. So. For sure. Yeah, she's got
or also just talk to me about time, people. Like, I or a bunch of things. Like, you can always feel open invitation. Send me a message. We'll talk about it. Or if I miss something or you guys think your time science makes a bit more sense, then we'll hash it out.
Do it. Do this.
Open to her interpretation.
Follow her on Instagram and YouTube. You can find her information in the description box down below.
Very cool. I just want to finish up with Loki by, I really thought like the end of the episode is really strong. Like, I think when you know, Loki determines that like he can control the time slipping by focusing on a person. And then he has the great line where he's like, you know, it's not about where, when, or why. It's about who. And I can rewrite the story. I thought that was like a banger, like end of the episode quote. Like, wow, that's good stuff. I really enjoyed that. What did y'all think about, or Amber, what'd you think about how it ended? Like, it was pretty dramatic, like. Cause you're kind of like, well, what are they going to do? Cause it's just, it's like, it's a loop over and over, but he's figured it out. So.
Yeah. I think at this point, I think Loki is going to have to loop a couple of times. Because okay. He looped back to before the boom. That was before Victor Timely went out there. So he can, unless he decides to go back further to figure out what happened that made it so that Victor Timely spaghettified, like what went wrong. Because the episode ended with him going to just before Victor Timely went out, which I'm like, that's not enough time for you to figure it out what went wrong. So I feel like if Loki keeps going back to that point, he's going to have to do a lot of trial and error. Like, hey, I think I did this. It still didn't work. It still led to the loom boom and spaghettification. So let's go back again, rewind again and rewind again until
get it right
or until he goes further back.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to anticipate for the finale, but given that they were able to create a penultimate and explain how Loki was able to get everyone back together, because the end of episode 4 made you feel like, where do we go from here, right? Like, how do you come back from this? And the fact that it seemed like everything was going to be destroyed except Loki was, and Sylvie for that matter, Loki was the only one still at the TVA, and yeah, he's time slipping and what have you, and it just made sense for him to time slip through all these branched timelines to, you know, find everyone and get them to come back and try to put things right again. There's still that issue of you know, these people had lives on the timeline, right? But at the same time, the branch timelines are dying, right? We saw that with Sylvie's. Yep. So it's very possible that they would have not lived for much longer had they stayed on the branch timeline. So to secure everyone's lives, I couldn't think of the word for some dumb reason, got to bring them back to the TVA, got to bring them back, set things right, you know, make sure that they're taken care of. So, and I want to address something here in the chat real fast from Raheeb. He said, weirdest part was when Loki visited time after 2012. How did they not recognize Loki? Loki is the most wanted person since 2012. And Thor, two girls recognized them and said, sorry that Jane dumped you. I think my answer to that is, at what point did the events... No. Let me finish. What month in 2012 did the Avengers movie take place? Yeah. Because depending on that may answer as to why no one recognized Loki.
Yeah, because the Battle of New York could have been... Well, the Battle of New York could have been after. So,
right.
Yeah. Like, so B-15, I forgot her.
Dr. Willis.
Yeah, whatever. B-15. Sorry. B-15, she might not have recognized him because the Battle of New York hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I'm positive.
Yeah.
I actually, just after that, Raheem's also asking about my timeline with the why is Loki the only one who can time slip? And I was actually wanting to bring that up. So thank you, because I was going to bring that up. Because we only see him doing it after Sylvie kicks him through the door at the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like before she kills He Who Remains.
So
why? Like, why is it only him? Is it, or is it just a Loki variance? Or is it, and also like when we saw the spaghettification at the very, very end of this episode, even Sylvie started to spaghettify. So why is Loki the only one who's not? And it's just, if it's because he is, because he's the god of, like a god of chaos and he is the catalyst for all of this, then Sylvie should be too. So it's just,
but are all variants created equal?
They all start equal, technically.
Yeah, but like, do they still possess the same like knowledge qualities? You know what I'm saying? Like, she has.
That's what
powers.
Makes them variants. So no.
Right. So I mean, she's got powers, and it seems like when the two are joint, like they use their powers together in order to stop Docs and her. Overthrow of you know, mm-hmm. the TVA, right? So I don't know why Loki seems to be the only one who possesses this ability. And to kind of relate it back to something that Amber said earlier on, hey, some things are just the way they are. Whether we get an explanation or not, it's just we're going to kind of have to like accept it. And I think for right now, because there is no explanation as to why he's the only one doing it, we're just going to have to kind of take it for what it is. And
I think it's because of the Tesseract. I mean, it's kind of a joke, but
the Tesseract. My God.
Did the Tesseract become the Time Stone? Ask you the questions.
The Tesseract's the Mind Stone.
Yes. Yeah. That's what he was saying.
Mind, not time.
Oh, mind. Yeah. No, yeah. Time is the thing that Doctor Strange had.
That's true.
Yeah.
The Tesseract is the Space Stone.
Get your stones right. but overall, like Brittany said, I think we kind of just have to be like, I don't know why Loki, but because I love that question. I love your question, friend, but yeah. I don't have an answer for you, but I have the same question, so maybe we'll get an answer, maybe we won't.
Maybe
but
we'll in tomorrow's finale, that would be,
and speaking of finale, Raheeb did ask earlier on, since we are getting two Marvel projects tomorrow, by the way, partners, Tom Hiddleston and his partner, I can't say her name to save my life, but she is going to be in the Marvels.
She's the villain. Yeah.
She's the villain. Talk about a power couple, yo. Like, that's amazing. Anyway, tomorrow, which is going to be Thursday, November 9th, we're going to get two Marvel projects dropping, Loki season finale and the Marvels. Which one of them are you most excited about Justin, I'm going to go to you on this one.
Yeah, because I'm going to see both tomorrow. I'm going to see the Marvels. I'll see the Marvels first, and then Loki season finale will air after that. I'm going to say the Marvels just because we haven't had an MCU movie since May, since Guardians 3. So it's been a long time. That's a long time to wait for a Marvel. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're pumping out 3 or 4 a year, when you have like about a 5-6 month time period in between, that's a long time. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to the Marvels just because it's a movie, but I am very interested to see how Loki ends the season. So to me, it's kind of a toss up, but the thought of just going to see it in a Marvel movie is exciting to me. So
I'm Loki. I'm very excited.
She's admitted, y'all. She's Loki.
Yeah. I'm excited for Loki. Because I haven't kept up with the Marvels enough for it. The rest of it has just mostly been, for me, it's been Loki lately. But Walking with the Woods did correct me. You guys are right. The Space Stone was the Tesseract. The Mind Stone was Loki's scepter.
Yes,
that's correct. So I got to get my stones right. So we all just got to get our stones right. There we go.
Too old for this shit. Sorry. So I am very much looking forward to seeing Loki finale. This has been really, really well done, even though this last episode was like, huh, what? Like, even on the rewatch, what? So that being said, I'm very much looking forward to Loki. Now, I should be really excited to see the Marvels. However, I stand by what I said all that time ago about Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. Does not land with me. Just I'm not looking forward to the movie because of her. I hope that she does better in this movie, but I absolutely love Miss Marvel. I think she's adorable. I loved her series on Disney Plus. I don't know. I really enjoyed seeing her, and the very fact that she's the actress is a very big Marvel fan just kind of adds like to that level of excitement. So how that's all going to play out is going to be hopefully interesting, but I've now kind of just walked into any one of these projects or movies, shows, having no expectations, just because I don't want to set myself up for disappointment. And that's just the God honest truth. So,
yeah, you know, Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, like obviously she looks great as a superhero, but she doesn't have a lot of charisma, at least not in that role.
Yeah.
And she wasn't great in her own movie. She was better in Endgame, I thought. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out because, like you said, Iman Vellani, who plays Miss Marvel, she has charisma for days. And so think
she's so great.
I hope she has a big role in the movie. I think she's like the third lead with the, you know, Monica Rambeau is also part of the trio.
And then we get Fury back, right?
Yeah, Nick Fury, yeah.
So,
yeah. So let's transition to talking about the Marvels real quick. So I guess, join us next week. We'll have the finale of Loki. We're looking forward to talking about that. But let's transition and talk about the Marvels a little bit, because the Marvels, very recently, this week, they dropped the final trailer. Now, did either one of y'all see the final trailer for this movie?
No.
No, you didn't watch it. Okay. So I want to talk about it a little bit, because the trailer heavily hints at some Avengers appearing in the movie. And I don't think this actually happens, but the trailer starts out with imagery of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers, like it's footage from, you know, previous movies. And it's really strange. Like they're not going to bring back these characters obviously for the Marvels, but it might be kind of a bait and switch kind of deal.
I think I have an idea as to someone that it's like not so much from the Avengers, but we've seen this character in other movies that may make an appearance. And I might have been spoiled to something from Twitter. Damn you, Twitter. That's damn you.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Well,
it's okay. It's not like a huge, like, oh my God, big time reveal.
I mean, in the trailer,
now, it's character I like.
You're talking about Valkyrie?
Yeah.
Okay, she's actually shown in the trailer, so it's not
okay.
A spoiler.
Well, then,
yeah,
then no spoiler.
Yeah, Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie is in the trailer for the movie. I think she has like a
she's so pretty.
She is
very like she has a small cameo, I think, in the movie, or who knows, maybe it's a bigger part. But she's in the trailer.
Nice.
But there's a part in the trailer where Monica Rambeau says, "There's a different reality bleeding into ours." Ooh. And then they had this very dramatic tagline where it's like, be there for the moment that changes everything. And then Nick Fury says, they're here. And then we get the Avengers theme music plays at the end of the trailer. So, like I said, they are heavily hyping the Avengers in some form. Now, obviously, Captain Marvel's an Avenger, but they're hinting that someone's going to show up. Because Valkyrie's in the movie, I'm guessing Thor makes an appearance. Because in the trailer, like I said, they show Captain America, Steve Rogers, they show Tony Stark, and like the three main Avengers that take on Thanos in Endgame are Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor. So that's just my guess. I don't know, but I know there is a mid-credit or a post-credit scene in the movie, and that's probably going to be the big reveal for whoever's the Avenger that's joining the fray. I don't know, but I am very interested to see this movie. This movie's also only an hour 45 minutes. So like I'm very excited about the runtime and
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Now I'm really going to go watch it.
So Amber, I know you said you're not really up on this stuff. Do you have any other thoughts on the Marvels, or like, do you think you'll see this movie? Will this be a wait and see it done on Disney Plus? Are you going to go to the theater?
I love going to movie theaters. I will go see anything and everything. I love going to the movie theaters. My fella does not. And okay. So I know that he does not, like, he's kind of like Brittany, he did not like Captain Marvel. So
it's an unpopular opinion, but it is the right opinion.
And I see it. You know, I see your guys' reasoning. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to coerce him into it or if I would go see it. And I may be persuaded to go see it on my own. But again, I would prefer to go with somebody because
sorry,
especially
Anna,
since it's not, that's fine. But it's mostly just because, I haven't kept up with it. So me, I'm like, the only reason I would go is if somebody like requests, like if you guys like were, please go see it, I'll go see it because you guys asked me to. But
well, noted. I mean, I'm definitely seeing it tomorrow. I hope we can maybe do a review next week. So Amber, I'm not telling you to do this. Do whatever you would like to do, but
he's telling you to do it.
No, I'm not. I'm not telling you. Do whatever you want. But if you do go see it, then you're welcome to join the podcast where we talk about it. Sure. Which leads me to ask Brittany, are you going to see this movie this weekend?
I probably will. Okay. For the sake of the podcast, Justin, I will make the ultimate sacrifice.
For the sake of the pod, there we go. Whatever it takes. Like the adventure.
Whatever it takes. Damn it. I have a theory, though, now that you've talked about an Avengers theme being played and Nicholas J. Fury going all, they're here, kind of situation. It's not Poltergeist, people. What if the, quote, Avengers are all variants of Kang? I'm just kidding. I mean, that'd be kind of wild.
We're
though.
All Kang, guys.
Yeah. That would be us. Wild. Man, that'd be crazy.
We're all Kang,
so,
guys.
We're the Kang gang. Yeah, we're the Kang gang.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord. I need new friends. Moving on. So, I will go see it. I probably will see it this weekend at some point. That way we can come back next week and not only do our pod review on Loki season 2 finale, but also bring you our movie review of The Marvels.
I'm looking forward to that. And speaking of trailers, let's talk about another trailer Marvel dropped recently, the trailer for Echo. Now, this show has been, there's been a lot of turmoil with this show. A lot of people were saying this show is not very good. This show is going to be the first ever Disney Plus series to have a binge drop. All 5 episodes are going to drop on January 10th. on Disney Plus and Hulu, which is also a first for Marvel Studios to drop both on two different platforms. Now, granted, Disney now owns all of Hulu, so it's just, you know, another arm of their entertainment empire. But
which should become one app by March 2024.
Right. Right. So anyway, January 10th, we're getting all five episodes of Echo. It is also the first TVMA rated show on Disney Plus. And if you watch
the trailer,
you can tell in the trailer. So let's get to that. Amber, what'd you think? And I know you're not super familiar with the Echo character, but what'd you think about what you saw in the trailer?
It looks pretty intense. Like I guess I got, it boils down to the rating. I got so used to how other Marvel fight scenes are, and they're over here showing a guy get shot in the neck. Like in just the trailer. So I'm just like, okay, these are the things that they're showing us in the trailer. I cannot imagine how the actual show is going to be. The rating that you just, I didn't know about the rating. So the rating that you, now that makes so much sense. It sounds, it seems interesting. It sounds good to me. I just had, until you sent me the trailer, I hadn't seen anything about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's really cool. Yeah.
Echo is a character that we first saw in the Hawkeye series. And the thing also about this, she's a villain. So she's not an anti-hero. She's a villain in this series, apparently. So, and Brittany, I want to throw it to you now, because Kingpin is shown prominently in the trailer. He beats an ice cream vendor senseless. Honestly, deservedly so. The guy is giving that little deaf girl a hard time.
Maya.
The character's name is Maya. The guy got he got the beating he deserved, in my opinion. But it was at the hands of Kingpin, who you're familiar with, Brittany, of course, from the Daredevil series. And by the way, if you blink, also you Hawkeye. Missed it. Also Hawkeye, right. But if you missed it, Daredevil was briefly shown in this this trailer. So Brittany,
quite literally.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the Echo trailer?
I mean, you said it. One word. Daredevil. My God. I am so excited to see Charlie Cox reprise his role as Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil. Oh, my God. I blame Franklin Cooper, fellow watcher here, for putting me on to that show. Because when those shows, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica...
The Defender Netflix shows, which are now on Disney Plus.
Jessica Jones. I was about to say Jessica Rabbit, like a freaking idiot. Sorry. But all those shows, they were on Netflix, even though they're part of the Marvel comics. They had a mature rating, right? And they were great. I mean, they were gritty and they were great. I really love it. So when it was announced that they were coming over to Disney Plus, I'm like, okay, well, I hope they don't water it down to make it, you know, friendly, you know, for all audiences, right? But when they said, much like with Deadpool was going to be like the first rated R movie to come to, you know, MCU/Disney, that kind of thing, I'm like, oh, this is good, this is so good, I'm happy about it, because that's what separates them from like the other installments that we've received. So that being said, with Echo, and if I'm not mistaken, Justin, Echo's going to be part of this new sort of brand that Marvel is putting out called Marvel Studios Spotlight, which is more grounded, and those stories or those shows don't tie into the MCU timeline.
Right. That's what they announced. And I think that's a cool idea. The problem is Echo is already in the MCU. She was in Hawkeye.
But
so it is kind of like a
playing into like the main storyline of like, let's say Kang and all that other stuff.
You're right. But I think like the main thing is like, they say that like it's not necessarily, you know, all about MCU continuity. It's more about characters who are street level.
Yeah.
Which Daredevil is a street level character.
Yes, you know, he is.
Echo is. I mean, in some respects, Spider-Man is. Obviously, Spider-Man is their number one character overall. But you know, they do have a lot of these
street level characters. Don't own the rights.
They don't have the movie rights. But but you know, you mentioned the Netflix shows it was called The Defender.
Right.
Defenders series or whatever that was made by Marvel Television, which was not the same thing as Marvel Studios.
Right.
So now all that stuff is under the same umbrella and under Kevin Feige's control. So, I think it's a great idea. I think the Marvel Spotlight thing is a great idea it's DC's doing the same thing with their Black Label. They're calling it something else, but the movies
are talking like the Joker, the Batman.
Yeah, right. Those movies are in another, not going to be under the connected universe. So, I think it's a good idea to Marvel to do something similar. And
I think so too. I think so too, because I think it's starting to become a lot more convoluted to try to connect all of these characters and shows, movies, stories, all of it to make it sense for the big, you know, the big plot, right? Now that we're in the multiverse stages. So I think it's smart because obviously MCU had to start servicing Disney Plus with content. So it's a great way to keep that going, but to still separate it from like the main storyline. That way it's not starting to become, as I said, convoluted. So I think it's smart. I mean, I'm here for it. Again, Daredevil. Oh yeah. And Daredevil, well, pre writer strike and after strike and all that jazz, was going to have like, I think the most episodes in a season, right? It was going to be like 18 episodes or something like that. Something ridiculous. That's fine by me. Give me all the Charlie Cox out there. But that being said, I don't know if that's still going to happen in terms of how many episodes the season will get. We're also missing Blade. Like Blade is not going to be something that's going to be like G rated. Let's just be real. Right.
Well,
so
that's my next story. Great transition, because as you mentioned before, we talked about how Echo is going to be TVMA and how Deadpool will be the first R-rated movie. It's not going to be the only R-rated MCU movie, because Blade will get a R rating, according to the director, Yann Demange, which I'm not familiar with him, but he told Deadline recently that Marvel gave him the R rating. So,
fuck yeah.
The Vampire Hunter will be a bloody Vampire Hunter movie.
As it should be?
Yeah. Amber, did you watch the previous Blade movies with Wesley Snipes?
I did. Okay. It's been a while, so and Brittany knows, because we covered Interview with the Vampire. I love vampires, so and I like vampire media. So I mean, I like Blade because it's like, I don't want to say a household vampire story, but you know, we know it. We recognize it. We know it.
So wholesome.
Well, I meant like recognizable.
I know.
That's what I mean. I guess like common knowledge. There we go. It's a common knowledge one. And I haven't looked too much into anything new with it, but I have heard about it. And obviously exactly what you just said, that they got the rating for it, which I'm like, as it should be.
Yes.
Like, I would have been real disappointed if Marvel didn't let that happen.
Yeah. I'm just very excited to see Mahershala Ali portray Blade. And what's curious is that in the Netflix Marvel TV show of Luke Cage, Mahershala Ali was in that show as a character. He was the big bad in Luke Cage. So how... And I mentioned this to Frank, and I'll admit, I did not finish Luke Cage. I just, like, you know, time got away from me, just never finished it. I'm wanting to know how we're going to get Mahershala Ali to be Blade, but for people to forget that he had previously been in a Marvel-related show.
But those aren't, they're not.
They're not connected. I know, they're not connected. I mean, I understand.
They're only connected through the multiverse, which Kevin Feige recently addressed and basically said everything Marvel is connected through the multiverse, but that's the only way it's connected. So
yeah, no, and I get that.
He's a variant.
He's a variant.
No, that's very...
Totally, totally. No, I'm just very curious as to how, if they're going to address it, like how it's going to be addressed, right? Because there was also another character... Yeah, probably not. There was also another character in Luke Cage that we got to see in Civil War with, Viola Davis. Her character was also in, well, not her character, but she also played a character in Luke Cage. And I just don't remember if it's the same character or not. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm just curious as to how this is all going to play out. But very excited for Mahershala Ali to be Blade. I did not watch Blade when they were coming out back in the day. I have seen some since then. Funny enough, Ryan Reynolds is in one of the Blade movies, y'all. So if we get a Blade Deadpool like mashup, I'm going to lose my mind. It's going to be great. I mean, we're already going to get a Deadpool Wolverine in Deadpool 3, which I'm so excited for. But yeah, I need to see Ryan Reynolds team up with Blade. Like it's going to be wild.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds was in the third Blade movie, which is aptly titled Blade Trinity. So
appropriate.
Go check that out. It's actually, I think the Blade movies are on Max because they are New Line Cinema movies, and New Line Cinema is owned by Warner Brothers, which is pretty weird that Warner Brothers also owns DC, but then had made Blade movies for Marvel. So it's a very like,
well, the history of this stuff. Expand their portfolio, yo. Like,
yeah. The history of this stuff is pretty crazy when you go back and look at it.
It is
how like the birth of the MCU is like really because of Superman the movie and because of the success of the Batman 89 toys, which the person who purchased Marvel made money off making Batman toys, and that's how he bought Marvel. So it's all like, it's all interconnected in a lot of ways, these massive comic book companies. So
yeah,
I'm reading a book about that stuff right now, if you can't tell. So I'm
knee the domino deep effects,
right?
Exactly.
I'm knee deep in that stuff. My last news item is, so yeah, we mentioned Echo is coming January 10th, which is not that far away. We're about 2 months away from that, but there's actually something coming before January 10th. They just announced this week. What If season 2 will reportedly drop in December, likely around the holidays. So that came out of nowhere for me because I know it's been talked about for a while, but I wasn't expecting What If season 2 to drop. Amber, did you watch any of What If season 1? It's the animated anthology series of What If scenarios in the Marvel universe.
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't watch What If, but that's kind of, well, when we discussed it a little bit ago, that's what got me on my, tangent about the crack ship about Loki and Sylvie, not Sylvie, Loki and Darcy.
Right.
That's the only information, only knowledge I have from that What If series was that these characters have never met in our, to our knowledge, they did meet in that, in What If. That's all I know. I don't know what the vibe of that interaction was. I don't know what the result of that interaction was. I don't know anything, but that's all I know. Darcy's
very well said.
Yeah, I definitely did watch the first season of What If. I think my favorite episode was the zombie sort of episode with like all the Avengers and such. It was absolutely crazy. Very imaginative, really. And for it to be like a 2D cartoon, right? The nostalgia behind it, because I, like for all of us, we pretty much grew up with like the 2D cartoons, right? Now it's got to look like Pixar and that kind of thing in order for it to hold any child's attention. But for me, the nostalgia behind it of the 2D was great. Really creative storylines, really creative episodes. I'm very much looking forward to season 2 of What If. And yeah.
I'm just real surprised we're getting it in December. Like that's like,
I know.
And they didn't give a date, which I'm like, this is so weird about Marvel, because like you've got, you know, like as Raheem mentioned before, like we have tomorrow is the finale of Loki season 2. It's also, you know, the first day you can potentially see the Marvels in theaters. And then like a little over a month later, you have What If season 2 coming. So I just wonder, are they going to drop all the episodes? Is it going to be like a binge drop just like they do with Echo? Or is it going to be weekly where it'll end in January or February? Like, I'm really curious to see like how they release this show, because
yeah,
I mean, while What If looked really cool, the artwork and the animation is pretty incredible. I think it's one of the weaker Disney Plus entries as far as...
How dare you?
Yeah, I know Brittany's very hurt, but I've talked about this many times. I just don't... I mean, because it's What If stuff, so like it's...
Just hoping some of you change your mind, God.
I don't dislike it. I'm just saying it's just not... It's not the greatest thing ever. I think that's kind of...
You're not the greatest thing ever. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's very, very clear. Yeah.
As somebody who I've never, granted, I haven't seen the show, so yeah. I can't really say, but it's kind of the, I guess what you might be feeling is just because it might just be content for the sake of content. Like
yeah. no,
a filler is. For people right. who want like more yeah. of this character, but that character's technically dead. So, okay,
right.
here we go. Let's right. give them more of that content without,
yeah.
but, and this is our excuse. So, but it doesn't have any like impact on the story because it's a what if scenario. So it's kind yeah. of, it's a filler.
No, you nailed it. That's that to me, like in an interconnected universe, whenever you're telling these like what if stories, it's cool, but like it's not connected to the other stories. So I'm still going to watch it though. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about it here whenever it comes out. But I'm just surprised because we've heard about it for a while that they're going to do a season two, but now that they're going to drop it in December, kind of out of nowhere. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I've got some breaking news, y'all, as it's happening. It's being reported by our local news station that the Hollywood actors' strike is over as union reaches tentative deal with studios. So, hey, writer's Woo-hoo! Strike ended not that long ago. Hopefully the actor's strike has come to a close. Hopefully we're going to get these storylines and shows and movies that we've all been anticipating back on track, however yeah. delayed Please. They may be. I got shows I gotta watch, you know. I'm excited. So mm-hmm. yeah, with that being said, I'm gonna answer a couple more questions here in the chat from Rakib. So he wanted to know, what do you think this year's Marvel Christmas special is like? We got Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. What will this year's Marvel Christmas special be?
I think it's gonna be what if.
I don't think it's gonna be like necessarily themed towards like a Christmas or holiday sort of special, but the release of What If did come kind of out of left field, given that it is coming out in December, so that very well could be, quote, our,
and
you know,
last year we did get the Guardians Christmas special, which I thought was fantastic, but also last year on Halloween we got Werewolf by Night. Now this year
came out Halloween, but in color,
they put it in color, which I have not watched it in color yet.
Neither have I.
Because I liked the vibe of the fact that they
too.
Did it in yeah. black and white. I loved that. So I was kind of like,
yeah. so good.
You took out one of my favorite things about it. But
well, it just
see,
changed it
see,
for this year.
See, Marvel, this is an example. It's no longer special because you did a re-release and made it in color. So if you bring back the Avengers that you killed off, it's not going to be special anymore.
We're talking apples and oranges here. This is different.
I said what I said.
I agree with Brittany.
Raheem also asked earlier, do you think we will see Daredevil and She-Hulk together in the Echo series or just Daredevil? I'm going to just say Daredevil. I highly doubt She-Hulk
because it's
going to be in it.
Gritty and grounded and street-based, we're not seeing She-Hulk.
I mean, she twerked with Megan Thee Stallion.
Yes.
That's pretty gritty, but, you know, not the same level. And lastly, from Raheem, do you think we will get to see Benedict Cumberbatch and Charlize Theron in Loki's season finale? I don't.
No.
I think that'd be a big stretch. They've got their own storyline that they're going to sort out, whether it's with a show, probably with another movie, or in the team-up movie. So, I definitely don't think we're going to see that crossover at all.
No.
I mean, they might have like a reference to something strange, but I don't think they'll I need a laugh track, but I don't think we'll actually see the actual characters. If anything,
agreed,
Loki might just like hint or reference something.
In Loki, the main cameo or whatever is going to be Kang, the rise of
Kang. Without a doubt. Now, unless they tie it back into like that of Ant-Man and we get a cameo from Paul Rudd or something. I don't know. Maybe so. But I think they're going to keep it contained. I think they're just going to keep like Loki and the characters the main focus. I don't think we're going to get those cameos from outside of this little containment here.
Yeah.
So just my two cents.
I think that's the way it should be. Go ahead,
Amber. I think it's because it's like, I think we would discuss it before in the other previous episodes, that a lot of people we're getting so confused with the convolutedness of a lot of things, like with the Multiverse of Madness. And it started people with Infinity War. Yeah, we have all of these hundreds of storylines all weaving together, but we all know about that. But once you bring time and space and other dimensions and alternate realities, it starts to get confusing. And I think what Marvel started to do with Loki was very much like, okay, having too much is going to be more damaging to the story than if we include everything. So we're going to try and scale it back a bit. So that's why I think this second season of Loki feels a lot more contained in and of itself. And they're only referencing the things that are going to be important, or what things that Loki and the plot of Loki is going to be important in the future, which is Kang.
Yeah, yes. I agree. And I think scaling it back, I think, is a very good way to put it, because I think that's going to be Marvel's plan going forward. Obviously, they haven't been as successful the last couple of years as they were. I mean, they were phenomenally successful for 10 years. I mean, they're like, honestly, like the most profitable studio ever. They've only been around for like 15 years. So, you know, they had nowhere to go but down. You know, like when you're on the top for that long, there's nowhere to go. So, but I do think they will scale back in the future. We're going to see fewer movies every year, probably fewer shows. Hopefully they spend more time with these things and, you know,
develop them.
Yeah, not only with visual effects, but with the script and everything, and just turn out hits and not just like churn
and
out.
Don't just like slap something together and hope it makes sense. Right.
Don't have a show just to have a show, or you know, like you have a date on a calendar to have a movie. Like, make sure that movie is worth people spending their money to go see it. So, but there's lots of stuff going on with Marvel. Had a good time talking about it today with Brittany and Amber, and. Now you know what we have to say about everything that's going on with Marvel, and especially Loki episode 5. We want to know what you think about all the MCU happenings. And Brittany, how can people tell us what's going on?
Well, going on? Don't limit yourself, y'all. Like, talk to us about all the things. Talk to Amber about all the things. And Amber, before we close out, tell us about your wonderful channel.
Thank you. If you like Harry Potter, or you just like to learn about magical world things, I collect and study and analyze the wands of the Wizarding World. So that's Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, and everything in between. It's every episode I pick a wand and do a full historical, cultural, and symbolic background of the wood, as well as the character as the magical beast that the core is from, and we compare that to the characters, see how similar they are, how they vary, and because all wands are little characters, and I think that's really individualistic of them, and it's really fun to talk about. So, but I love a whole slew of other things too, so it doesn't have to be Harry Potter or Loki. It can be anything and everything. Just talk to me. I need friends.
Yeah, so show Amber some love. Go follow her on her YouTube channel. You can find her link down below in the description box, as well as follow her on Instagram at olivambers.wands. And Justin, you asked how people can get in touch with us. Well, we encourage everyone to participate in our live chats as we're live streaming, much like today, here on YouTube. We are on the road, y'all, to 300 subscribers. We're at 289 as of time of recording, which is amazing because we've gained like a few more followers just this week alone. So thank you to everyone who has hit that subscribe button. It means so much to us.
It's a good feeling. And I like it.
Yeah, it's a really good feeling. We've been doing this for 5 years now, and we really like doing it. We like being nerdy and talking about all the things, and we enjoy talking to you, the audience, the most. So yeah, join us for our live chats on anything and everything that we do. We don't just bring you pop culture. We also do sports. We also do some kind of fun stuff like drafting, which that's going to be happening in the near future here with the Watchers in the Basement. So subscribe. Yeah. So subscribe, hit that like button, hit that notification bell. That way, you know, the next time we are going live, but also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and Threads, where you will see that wonderful illustration that Amber put together for us to help explain what the hell is going on in Loki. Because Lord knows I needed it. I know there's people out there who need it as well. So follow us at Watchers Basement. Use that same hashtag, Watchers Basement, to not only help grow our audience, but to, you know, get in touch with us. That's the best way to make sure that you're reaching out to us. Send us memes, articles, things that you want us to check out. We'd love to do that for you. And lastly, if you are not into our video podcasts, live stream or replay, don't worry. We have audio podcasts available to you on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, usually the next day. And I just realized I need to go upload our Gen V finale soon. So yeah, go follow us on those platforms for your audio podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating as well.
Thank you, Brittany. Hey, before we get out of here, there's one more question from Raheeb down there about the Thor question. Thor 5?
Oh, Thor 5.
Yeah, sorry.
Legend of Hercules.
Yeah, that's a good guess. I think that could happen. We saw in Love and Thunder, the mid-credit scene was Hercules, played by Brett Goldstein, who is famous for his Ted Lasso character, Roy Kent. So I think the next Thor movie is going to have Hercules. Calling the Legend of Hercules sounds great to me. So I'm on board.
We'll see.
Let's do it.
I'm a mythology lover, so yes.
Well, with the writer strike and the actor strike, you know, hopefully lifted, I think we're going to start getting some new content soon. So we'll be sure to cover it. We'll be sure to bring that to you here on our YouTube channel. Thank you to everyone who's joined us. For sure. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. So thanks, Brittany. Thanks, Amber. So for both of them, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Don't spaghettify between now and then.